This is Katie McCowan, and you are listening to the Best Day Ever podcast. Hi, and welcome to the Best Day Ever podcast. I'm Katie McCowan, and I'm so glad you are here. We have joining us on the podcast today a very special guest, Miss Wendy Pope. Wendy, how are you today?
I am doing wonderful.
Well,
wonderful. I just spent the weekend teaching about Jesus, and so I came home kind of on one of those Holy Ghost highs.
Well, you know what? I am very expectant, Wendy, that by the time we finish this conversation, all of that is going to have transferred to me and to our listeners, and we're all going to be on, I love it, the Holy Ghost high. I love it.
A Holy Ghost high.
Because I will say, just honestly, Wendy, every time I talk to you, it is just so special to hear, you can hear your love for Jesus and his, and your excitement for his word. And so I'm very expectant for our conversation today. Before we go any further though, let me introduce you, you know, your professional introduction, I guess. Wendy Pope is the wife of Scott, mother of Blair and Griffin, author, speaker, and Bible study teacher. She loves lazy Sundays, watching golf with her husband, thrift store shopping with her daughter, and watching building shows with her husband, with her son. That's funny. See, I think I watch the building shows with my husband, but you watch the building shows with your son.
I watch those with my son, but I watch car building shows with my husband.
Okay.
We're always watching something building on our TV. Both my men like building stuff.
Okay. And so you probably can do a little bit of that yourself just because you've learned so much.
I don't know that I can.
Maybe not.
In fact, my son broke his arm, and he's been on short-term disability for a little bit, and he cannot sit still. He's 21, and he's actually outside pounding right now with hammer, building a shed for the wood that we are going to have for our fireplace
okay.
this summer.
Okay, well, that's helpful.
And I'm amazed by how he knows how to do stuff.
With the one good arm.
I don't know that I can build anything. Okay. With the one good arm, it's like, how do you do this? But it's funny. He told me when he was three, he would come up with doing any like craft or even stuff with tools. He told me, I was like, Griffin, how do you, or maybe he was like four, probably a little bit older. And I said, how did you know how to do that? And he goes, I was born knowing.
Yeah.
And you know, so many people, that's probably true of so many people, but that's definitely true of him. He was just born knowing how to do things.
I love it.
Yeah. So it's funny. I'm just hearing the pounding right outside my window.
I can't hear it, but that's so funny. Wendy is also the author of several books, Hidden Potential, Yes, No, and Maybe, Wait and See. And then her latest book, which we're going to talk more about today, is Jesus Everlasting. And I'm just thrilled about this book and what we're going to talk about today. Wendy is the founder and executive director of Word Up Ministries. She leads women all over the world to life change through her in-depth online Bible studies. She has led thousands of women through her Read Through the Word daily video study of the one-year chronological Bible. Down to earth and transparent, Wendy teaches in a way that women feel she is speaking directly to their hearts. And I feel like we could all already say that about you, Wendy. It's just like we've known you forever and we've only been, you know, talking with you for a few minutes. So
I love that. I love talking about Jesus. I love talking about his word, and I love talking to Jesus girls about Jesus and his word.
So Jesus Everlasting is this latest book that you've published. And what I love in Jesus Everlasting is that you kind of break down four different ways that women can discover and get to know Jesus. And those ways are as a friend who will never leave them, as a father who brings healing and hope, as a defender who protects them, and as a counselor who truly knows them. And honestly, all four of those things just speak so directly to the needs of my heart. You know, to have a friend that will never leave, to have that father who brings healing and hope, and a defender and a counselor. And I definitely think it's worth, if you are listening and you haven't picked up Jesus Everlasting, I think it's worth you grabbing a copy. We're going to put a link in the show notes where you can get a copy of Jesus Everlasting. We obviously won't have time to talk about all of it today, but I have read, you know, some of the quotes from the, and I call it a Bible study, Wendy, just because I know you, and I always, I know, book, you know, book or Bible study, you're teaching the word, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's definitely, all of my books are around, centered around people in the Bible, and I weave our felt need, as women, as Christians, into the story of what's been told about that person. Mm-hmm. I can't not write about my favorite man.
Mm-hmm. Well, and so here's one of the things that you say in Jesus Everlasting that I love. And what you say is, Jesus has always been, is now, and will always be the answer for everything we need. And I mean, that one right. sentence, I think, just sums it up. Jesus has always...
Oh, it sums it up, yes.
You know, but there's so much there. And it's interesting because, I mean, I would love for you to expand on this, because that it's a really bold statement to say that Jesus has always been, is now, and will always be the answer for everything we need. So let's break that down a little bit. And I would love, you know, expand on how can you be so confident in that? And you know, just tell me more about that.
Well, it is a huge statement, and it sounds rhythmic, and it sounds beautiful when you say it, but when you really concentrate on it, right, Katie, it's an overwhelming statement. Mm-hmm. It's like, how in the world could that be? Mm-hmm. And that's one of the beautiful things that I believe that the Holy Spirit did in, surprisingly to me, there was so much about this book that surprised me, but how you were talking about the four ways that we can meet with Jesus, defender, you know, friend, father, and how we meet him in Jesus Everlasting in unexpected ways. So many times as Christians, we leave Jesus at the cross and as our savior, and that's all he is. And he is so much more than that. He really is the answer for every question that we have. He's the one that's going to give us the direction when we're lost, when we need discernment on what kind of decision to make on this job, or should I marry this person, or should my husband and I move in and take that job and move out of state? Those huge questions, but then even those little tiny questions like, you know, what should I do today, Lord? How can today I represent you wherever I go? And in the moment, you're at your favorite coffee spot and you are nudged by the Spirit to buy the person's coffee right behind you. He's that answer. Mm-hmm. He is that answer. And I love when you start at the very beginning of the Bible, you hear God speaking, Elohim, God, Most High speaking, God Creator speaking. And he talks about all through, you know, he lays out creation, but then he talks about, he mentions the word we. Mm-hmm. About we will come and dwell in creating men, man, Adam. And then you hear that word, that pronoun, plural pronoun, woven throughout the Bible. And then we is brought up again in the New Testament. And that we, for anyone that is not familiar, that we is the Holy Spirit, the Father and the Son, mm-hmm. God the Father, God the Holy Spirit, and God the Son, the Trinity. Mm-hmm. And so Jesus was in the very beginning. We only think that he showed up, you know, mm-hmm. in Bethlehem to be born. But he was there all along, and he has been all along through the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. And to me, this statement, is powerfully true and readily recognized when we are truly living life in tandem with the Holy Spirit's work in our life and the power of the Word working through our life. And that comes, that harmonious step comes through a powerful four-letter word, obey. When we are walking in obedience and we are obeying what God, I don't want to say requires, because that sounds like he's a dictator. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to say expects, because that sounds like he's, you know, pointing to us and shaking his finger at us, right, if we're not doing it. But if you read John 14, Jesus talks about, if you love me, you'll obey me. Mm-hmm. If you love me and you obey what I say, I'm going to make my home. He uses the word we again, we'll make our home in your heart. So the reason I believe I can speak confidently about this, and I'm not the only one, but I believe that I confidently can say this, is because I've experienced him being there in the now and in the always of my life. I can trace his hand upon my life all the way back from when I grew up with, you know, in, I kind of joke about this, but my parents were Ward and June Cleaver. I mean, I go all the way back and I trace his hand, and I can see him in the always of my life. Mm-hmm. And I haven't always been a faithful, mm-hmm, student of the word. I haven't always been a lover of the word. I've always loved God, because I mean, God is God, right? He sent his son to die for me. Of course I'm going to love him. But I haven't always experienced him as the always and the now and always will be the answer I need. But it's through really the maturing of faith. Mm-hmm. It is the acting out of obedience. It is trusting God. This does not make sense, mm-hmm, but I'm going to do it anyways. Mm-hmm. And I call it like the bank of faithfulness. Like we store our experiences, our faithful experiences with the Lord, in our little spiritual bank. And then when we have those moments where, okay, what am I hearing him? I'm getting this mixed message. Is it me or is it God? I mean, right. Have we all said,
yes,
that?
Yes. Oh my goodness.
I'm praying this and I sense this, and is it me or is it God? Then we can go back to those moments in our little spiritual bank and make a withdrawal, mm-hmm, and go, okay, I remember this time in the has been where, mm-hmm, he was faithful to,
that's
me.
Right.
And so he can be faithful in the now, mm-hmm, and in this, mm-hmm, situation where it's going to affect my future, I can see his faithfulness, mm-hmm, and we can learn to trust that. And honestly, Katie, and I know you know this, it's the only way to gain the confidence in your faith, spiritual confidence, is to actually walk it out, mm-hmm, and to live it out, whatever he's asking you to do. And you know, somebody might be saying, well, how do you know what he's asking you to do? And my answer is a Sunday school answer. And it is, the only way to know what God wants you to do is to know him. Mm-hmm. And the only way to know him is to be in his word, mm-hmm, through study, mm-hmm, and not necessarily a fill in the blank Bible study. I mean, like, open the Bible and read it yourself. Mm-hmm. I mean, I write Bible studies. You have Bible studies. I love Bible study, but there's no substitute for me just opening the word and starting to read. Mm-hmm. You know, I started falling in love with the word by starting in Psalm 1. Mm-hmm. And that's, there's 150 Psalms. Start there.
Right. And that is a good place to start.
It is, exactly. Don't get tripped up when you get to Psalm 119. It's 176 verses.
Maybe break that up.
Take a couple of days to do that. Break it up.
Yes.
But we will experience that he is our answer when we start turning to him, mm-hmm, and we get to know him. And I share this example in the book of me and my very, very, very best friend in the whole wide world. We've been friends for literally our entire lives. We were in cradle roll nursery together at our church, mm-hmm, and our mothers helped cultivate our friendship. And I turned 54 recently. She's 6 months younger than me, but you know, we grew up in a day where you had you didn't have caller ID. Mm-hmm. You didn't, you had the rotary dial phone. Mm-hmm. She lived in a county over from me, which was long distance, believe it or not.
Oh my.
And we could only speak once a week. And I didn't know when she was going to call me, and she didn't know when I was going to call her, but I knew her voice when I answered the phone because I had spent time with her. And that same application, we can apply that same example to our relationship with God. How are we going to know the answer he wants us to have? How are we going to recognize his work in and through and around us if we don't know who he is?
And, you know, when you talk about the answer for everything we need, like if you think about, you probably, these are the things that are crossing my mind. You probably have, like if you get a headache, you know what you're going to take. You know, maybe there's options. There's Tylenol, there's Aleve, there's Advil, there's essential oils, there's, you know, drink more water. There's all of these antidotes, if you will. There's all of these answers for a headache. But we have all probably, we could all probably pretty quickly tell you, if I get a headache, this is what I'm going to do. We know where we're going to turn for the answer to that headache. But we probably turn there because we've turned there before and it has proven to relieve the headache. And so I absolutely love how you started us at obedience, because the thing is, if we will decide ahead of time we're going to obey, then what we do is we set ourselves up for when we need the answer, we choose obedience, and then it's like trying that, you know, before you knew what worked for your headache, you had to try it. And so it gives us a place to begin turning to Jesus for everything we need. And the other thing about that is that I think about, like, when we know something is going to work for us, we absolutely turn there. The interesting thing is, how often, and I'm going to just listen, I hate that I have to say this, okay? I'm ashamed to say this, but how often do we Google our problems? Like, I mean, you know, I need an answer. Let me see what the internet says. You know, let me see. And let's put this in perspective. Let me see what someone I have never met, have never spoken to, probably never ever will meet or speak to, wouldn't even know what they looked like if they walked into a room, don't know the sound. Let me see what they have to say that could fix my problem. I mean, that's kind of that's what we're doing. But I have Googled it, whatever it is. When I needed an answer for something, I have turned to the internet. And that's part of what I love so much about this statement that Jesus, and I love the always, Jesus will be the answer for everything we need always. And we don't find that answer by turning to other things. We find it by turning to him in his word and trusting it, trusting that if I turn to him, he will be faithful. He will be the answer. I can count on him. And if you're in that place where you're a little bit like, I know, like that sounds good, but how do I know? Well, then the answer is you do it. And then, and you know, Wendy, you talked about the Bible and from the beginning. And that's what the Bible does. I mean, throughout the Old Testament, they're pointing back to God's faithfulness. You know, we talked about the Psalms and reading through the Psalms. If you do that, you're going to hear about God's faithfulness in Exodus. And you're going to hear about God's faithfulness in Genesis, because they do look back and they do trace the faithfulness. And they do say, God was faithful then, he will be faithful now. Because we've seen his faithfulness and his answer. And
well, what about the answer too, Katie, is that here's the thing that let's just be real about is that sometimes the answer that God gives us is not the answer that we wanted. It's not the action that we wanted to take. It's not the response that we expected or that we want to participate in. For example, you know, Lord, I'm having this problem with this relationship and I want you to lead me to how do I, you know, restore this relationship, or how do I walk away from this relationship, whatever that might be. well, what if you're reading and you're in your study and all it gets to the point where it talks about forgiveness. Mm-hmm. And then Holy Spirit reminds you of, hey, there's this rift between you and you need to seek forgiveness, or you need to forgive that person. Well, that's not the answer necessarily, you know, the Jesus girl wants. The Jesus girl wants maybe, well, you know, they hurt me and I'm going to walk away from that and I don't want anything to do with that. But maybe God needs you to restore that, even if not for that person, but for you. Mm-hmm. So we have to not only trust his faithfulness, but we have to trust the answer that he gives and the direction that he's pointing.
Right.
And know that Paul says in Romans that God will work everything out for the good for those who love and are called according to his purpose. But we have to trust that God defines what good is in our lives. And sometimes good might be hard. It might be hard, but it gives us, when we surrender to that, whatever that is, he's asking us to do, or the answer that he's leading us to, and we follow through with that in obedience, that hard, that good hard develops that spiritual confidence that we were talking about at the very beginning of the conversation, to where, you know what, this doesn't make any sense to me, and in the economy of my flesh, I don't like this, and I can even express to God, God, I just really don't want to do that. I don't feel comfortable, you know, approaching her. It's been a long time since we've spoken, but I'm going to do what you've asked me to do. Mm-hmm. And so that's how you approach it. This does, and God can handle our insecurity about whatever he's asking us to do. He can handle our doubt. He can handle our fear. But what he doesn't want is our disobedience, because disobedience is going to put a gap, a chasm between us and God. So, and he's so for us, Katie. He is so for us. God sent his son to die for us. So why would he send his son to die for us and then lead us in a way that would not be for our good? That just doesn't even make sense. So we just have to trust because there's so many people, right, Katie, that have let us down. There's a father. You talked about him being our father. Our fathers have let us down. As great as it was living with the Ward Cleaver look alike and act alike, my father let me down many times. You know, we have our defenders, our friends. They let us down, but God never will. So we can't not trust God's answer and supply for our life and sufficiency for leading us in our lives based on who in the flesh has let us down in those areas.
That's so good. And, you know, one of the things that you say in Jesus Everlasting is that the more time we spend with Jesus drinking the living water, the more we'll want. And you mentioned earlier about falling in love with God's word and learn, like, loving God's word. And I said this, that you can just hear it. You can hear that love when you speak of Jesus, when you speak of the word of God. So what I would love for you to do as we kind of wrap up this conversation is for the woman who's listening, who's going, I want to love God's word like that. I want to sip that living water and just want more and more and more. What do you tell her to do? Where does she start? How does she foster that love that we can all hear coming out of your heart?
Well, let me quickly reference that Jesus is speaking to a woman who has been married 5 times. She's living with a man that's not her husband, and she comes to get water in the middle of the day. She has no friends, and we know she has no friends because she's going to the well during the middle of the day. All the other women have already come to the well because you come to the well when it's cooler during the day. So she goes to the well. She enters in this conversation with Jesus, and she has all kinds of rebuttals for Jesus, like all of us do. But here's the thing that moved me most about that encounter with Jesus and the woman at the well, or the Samaritan woman, is that she came for water, right? She came for water. But after her encounter with Jesus, she ran into the town to tell everybody about Jesus. But you know what she didn't take with her? Her water. She did not take what she came to get, because what she needed, everything she needed, she got from Jesus. Mm. And that is where there is no substitute for the word of God. And for it's, David describes his words as they taste as honey. Mm-hmm. Your words are as honey on my lips. And I have not always loved God's word this much. I always carried it around with me to church. I filled in my Bible study blanks. I highlighted, I wrote sermon notes, all of those good girl things. And I'm not saying those are not good things. I'm saying that those are the beginnings. Those are the beginnings. We cannot rely on our pastors to be our spiritual teachers. We cannot go to church on Sundays and expect our pastors or our Bible study teachers to teach us everything we need to know about a relationship with Jesus through his word. We go to church on Sundays to top our tank off, not to fill our tank up. Mm. So to the woman who says, I want to know Jesus and I want to love him that much and I want to love his word that much, this is the first thing that I would say to do is I would say, pray to.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So humbly say to God, God, I've been a Christian my whole life and I don't love your word. Mm-hmm. You're not going to shock him.
He knows.
What you're doing in that moment is you are humbly confessing to God, and you are getting that out of you, so it's no longer rooted in you. And so I confess, God, I don't love you this much. I don't love your word this much. And in many cases, I feel like I'm kind of a fake Christian. I go on Sunday and I do all this stuff, but I don't spend time with your word every day. So help me love you. Help me love your word. Mm-hmm. So that would be the first thing I would do. And I would not stop praying until it took root in my heart. Mm-hmm. And if it's a year that you're praying that prayer, I actually never stop. I've got a sticker in my car that says, give me a ravenous love for your word. Mm-hmm. It's in my car. I see it every day. I never, ever want to fall, not out of love, but away from this love that I have. I just want it to be deeper and deeper. So never stop praying that, actually. Never stop praying that. And then the second thing that I would suggest to anyone is to get a Bible that you can read and that you can understand. Mm-hmm. And I don't mean, you might be thinking, well, how am I going to understand the prophets? How am I going to understand the law? How am I going to understand all of those things in the Bible that don't make sense to me, all the sacrificial stuff and all the moral law and all of that kind of stuff. And my answer to that is God reveals what he wants us to know when he wants us to know it. Mm-hmm. He is a need to know basis God. And if you stumble across something in the Bible that you don't understand, and I do all the time, I pause and I say, Lord, I don't really understand this in this day and age that I live in. This does not compute for me, but I'm going to just keep reading and I'm going to trust that you're going to reveal to me what I need to know when I need to know it. Mm-hmm. And I don't let my lack of understanding keep me from reading, because I believe that's why we have frozen Christians, because we are bogged down and weighted down by what we don't know to the point where we're not living what we do know and what we do understand.
Mm-hmm. So
pray to and get a translation that you understand. If you have to get a children's Bible, get a children's Bible. If you have to get the Action Bible that David C. Cook, our publisher, puts out, the Action Bible that has the cartoons in it, get the cartoon Bible. Whatever you have to get, he says, come to me as these little children. That's what Jesus says. So if it means coming as an adult with a children's Bible to Jesus, then come to Jesus with the children's Bible. Mm-hmm. I personally like that. Started reading the NLT because it's written on a sixth grade level, and it was, you know, the hard stuff, still the hard stuff, but not because I can't read it, but because it doesn't compute with me in the day and age that we live. And so I have freed myself of condemnation. I've allowed God to free me from condemnation of not knowing and not understanding. I start with Genesis 1:1 every year, and I finish with Revelation every year. Mm. This is, I read the entire Bible every year. I don't know any other way to function in my life. I, you know, my husband will go, "You're going to read it again this year?" And I'm like, yes. I mean, I don't know how to, I don't know. I wouldn't know what to do not. And that's what we do with Word Up Ministries is we, you know, we read through and we teach through the Bible every single year. And I, that's how I want Jesus to find me. I've told my children, I said, if I am unconscious in my bed waiting to meet Jesus, I want you to open my Bible and I want you to put it right on my chest because I want him to find me. Mm-hmm. I want him to find me. And not that he can't see me any other time, but I want him to come and get me with his word laying right open on my chest. And I want that for everybody, Katie. I want everybody to love it like I love it and to love it more than I love it. I mean, just as much as I love it, I want to love it that much more. Yes.
And you have given us.
It is the answer.
And you've given us some really great practical ways to begin and really kind of uncovered some of those things that keep us from beginning. And I want to go back as we close, and I want to say, I want to repeat something that you said a few minutes ago that I just think it's a perfect way to close this conversation, which is there's no substitute. There is no substitute for God's word and his presence in our lives. And so when we will hold on to that and say, you know what, there's no substitute. There's nothing that will fill me more. There's nothing else that will heal me or protect me or counsel me. There's nothing else. There is no substitute. Then that will drive us to his word. And we can take some of these practical things that you've just given us to begin. So Wendy, thank you so much for being here today.
Thank you, Katie, so much. And I would love if any of your listeners would like to join us as we start a brand new year in January with reading through the Bible. Our Read Through the Word course is free. It's on wordupministries.org, and we would love it if you have never read through the Bible. There's grace and there's community and there's camaraderie, and we have just a wonderful, wonderful community that loves God's word. Many have tried to read the Bible through and have fallen apart in the middle, and then they pick back up in the New Testament, and it's a great place to start. But if that's overwhelming, then pick up your Bible and start with Psalm 1.
But I love,
and it go through the Psalm twice if you need to. That's actually if you divide up Psalm 119 into a couple days and you read through the Psalms twice, that's a year.
There you go. So you have two great options now. But thank you for sharing about that community.
Just get in it.
And we'll put a link in the show notes to where you can join that community well, because that's a great resource. So thank you so much for being here, Wendy. And I pray that those of you who have listened, you have found something that is you can take and put into practice today so that today is your best day ever. Thanks for joining us.